Booze Hound Entertainment proudly presents Under the Influence. This show contains language and topics not suitable for kids, whiny little bitches, or prudes. You've been warned.
If I was a prostitute, I would advertise more bang for your buck.
From the Speakeasy Studio, this is Under the Influence with Phil Boyer.
Hey, what is going on out there? How are you guys doing? I'm so glad you guys are here to spend another Friday night with me talking about debaucherous things and all kinds of fun. So in the spirit of debauchery, what's the cocktail of choice tonight, huh? What are you guys drinking? Let me know. And as usual, I'm sipping on some whiskey. It's what I usually do during the show. But the wife and I will probably mix up some Manhattans later to celebrate the first season of Under the Influence. Yes, that's right. This is the season finale of the Under the Influence show, but it's okay because we got a great show for you and it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, we're just going to sit here, have some cocktails, have some fun. I don't know about you guys, but we actually prefer to drink at home and we rarely go out to bars. Mainly because around here, you can't get a decent drink to save your life. You just can't. I mean, something as simple as a martini, it comes back with a brown tint to it, and you're like, what the fuck is this? A vodka tonic, and you're like, I don't think this is tonic. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely not tonic. I don't even know if it's vodka. I don't know. It's fucking nuts around here. Plus, what the fuck is it about bars and dirty bathrooms? I mean, they seem to go hand in hand, always. I guess it's all part of the experience. I don't know. But you have no choice, though. If you're out and about, you're drinking these cocktails, and of course, what goes in must come out. And even if these bathrooms are clean, am I the only one that thinks it's weird that the walls and doors of these bathroom stalls are just half size? And then there's even this new thing where they put these little half divider things in between the urinals. Like, that's giving anybody privacy. What's the point of that? I don't get it. But I can definitely understand why some people only go to the bathroom at home. I mean, first, it is kind of fucking weird to be sitting shitting somewhere in a place where some stranger just shat. I mean, if you think about it, how fucking gross is that? That's kind of gross, isn't it? But even if you take that aside, you know, here you are, you're sitting in this stall with half walls, half doors, minding your own business, you're dropping the kids off at the pool, and all of a sudden some asshole pokes his head over from the next stall and wants to start a conversation. You just got no fucking privacy, no privacy at all. I just don't understand it. And then, you know, at home, where we share a bathroom with people that we actually know, people we actually live with, and we have a full fucking wall and a full fucking door. It's just insane. It's crazy to me. Because, you know, in public, it's not like, you know, I don't know, you want more privacy than you have at home, not less. I mean, who thought this was a great idea? Is it all just to save money so you don't have to get that extra, you know, 2 feet or whatever? I mean, at 2 feet, that's a huge gap. I mean, you can see right under there without even trying. I mean, really, we've all heard the gossip it can cause at the water cooler. Am I right? Oh, there's something wrong with Sandra. I was in the bathroom earlier and she was in there and I knew it was her because of those funky red shoes that she always wears. Anyway, she was in there and the stink coming off that girl. Oh, it was so intense. I just had to leave. It was so bad I had to leave. She should get checked out or something. I mean, that's not normal. Poor Sandra. If only she had complete privacy. If only those doors were full. If only those walls were full. She wouldn't have to go quit her job and get another one from all the embarrassment. But it doesn't end there. Nope. It seems that whoever the ass fuck was that designed bathroom stalls also designed dressing rooms. Because, you know, who needs privacy when you're naked trying on clothes, right? And it's even worse in these fancy stores where they have this these sitting rooms right outside for the guys to wait while their other half is trying on stuff. You ever seen one of those? I mean, here you are as a woman, you're half naked in this half-walled room while a bunch of dudes are like 3 feet away. I mean, only a pervert would think it would be a good idea to do half walls in public when people are naked and vulnerable. It's just insane. And going back to bathrooms for a second. Not only do we have half doors, but how about the sandpaper they put on the roll masking it as toilet paper? I mean, do they really expect us to wipe our most sensitive region with this weapon of ass destruction? I mean, come on. There should be a law against one ply. In fact, if I was dictator, I would definitely outlaw one ply. Definitely. And we accidentally picked up this giant pack of one ply during the great toilet paper shortage of the pandemic. Oh my God, it was horrible. I mean, some people would be like, oh, well, you're just lucky you had toilet paper. But, oh God. And this thing lasted forever. It lasted forever. And I think my ass is still red from it. Oh God. But it's, you know, it's not just the public restrooms though. Hotel rooms are the same exact way. I mean, you pay all this money to stay in this nice hotel. They give you these little cool shampoo bottles and fancy soaps shaped like clams or whatever. But then you go to wipe your ass and it's fucking one ply. One ply. Some people say getting home to your own bed after a vacation is bliss. But I think it's getting back to having toilet paper that doesn't take layers of skin off your puckered hole. You know, but at least you're on vacation, right? I mean, it's the time when we say, fuck everything, fuck everybody. We go, we get away from the everyday bullshit. We let loose, we go nuts. We do things we don't normally do, especially if you're in some exotic place that puts umbrellas in the drinks, right? I mean, come on, why not? Why not? Nobody knows who you are. Let loose, go crazy, right? I mean, you might go topless on the beach, or even better, you might have sex on the beach, right? Sex on the beach. Now that is a good time, but you gotta watch out for the sand. The sand can get into places it has no business getting into. And if that happens, well, vacation's over, right? Vacation's over. But even if it's not on the beach, you do spend a lot of time bumping uglies, right? Right? I mean, come on. What is it about having sex in a hotel room that is so exciting? I mean, you walk in, you just look at the bed, and it just calls out to you, right? Or maybe you're in one of those like high-rise hotels, and you do it right in front of the window as you're looking out over the city. That's always fun too. But what is it? If for some reason, the sex when you're on vacation is just so much better. It's different. I don't know. Maybe it's the booze that lowers your inhibitions and, you know, because, I mean, quite honestly, we always drink a little more than we usually do on vacation. It's probably all those little cocktails that you get that are 80 proof but go down like fruit juice. So you just have one right after the other and you got like 10 of these in you and you're feeling good until you stand up and then it's like, okay, then you sit right back down or you're falling over. Yeah. But how about the food? The sex is great. But the food is one of the best things about vacation. I mean, you eat food that you wouldn't even take a look at, let alone eat at home, right? You wouldn't even take a second look at it. But for some reason, on vacation, everything is game. There's nothing off the table. Nothing's off limits. You go for it all. You go crazy. You know, down in Mexico, I tried raw oysters for the first time, which it's probably not something you want to do in Mexico, especially with having that one-ply sandpaper to use. But, yeah, you know, you go on vacation and you get back home and, you know, you're supposed to feel all relaxed and calm and recharged and all that. I mean, that's what vacations are for, right? But the traveling just takes that right out of the equation. I mean, you get strip searched by the TSA, you have to worry about connecting flights, and you have to lug around all your carry-ons and all your crap. I mean, you get to the point where you almost look forward to going back to work. You know, sitting on the freeway in the rush hour traffic actually sounds pretty relaxing at that point. I mean, that is until you actually get on that freeway traffic on Monday and it's just, you're not going anywhere. And then you just want to go kill babies. It's just frustrating as hell. But what about when the freeway is actually moving? You know, those rare times they're cruising along at 70, 80 miles an hour. And then you feel a sneeze coming on. You got all these big rigs around you, all these cars weaving in and out of lanes, and you feel the tingling. That sneeze is just right there. The tingling's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and you know you're going to have to sneeze, but you don't want to crash, so you do everything possible to hold it in. Plus, you know, you don't have any tissue, and you don't want to drive the rest of the way home with snot hanging off your face like you're in some Jethro Tull song or something, you know? So you tell yourself, you recite this mantra, I'm not going to sneeze, I'm not going to sneeze, I'm not going to sneeze. And you don't realize it. You don't realize it, but you're making all these weird faces. The look on your face is somewhere between your O face and Emily Rose having a demon attack. The other drivers are passing you. They're looking at you, trying to hold in your sneeze. And half of them think you're possessed. The other half think you're getting roadhead. But yeah, you finally get home. You get home from work and your dogs have no idea you were only gone for a few hours. To them, it's a lifetime. They go nuts. They jump all over you and you're just trying to get inside the house to get to the bathroom to wipe the snot off your face, right? But yeah, dogs are something though, aren't they? Unconditional love. One of our hounds, Slinky, he's half Basset, half Dachshund, and man, he needs to be around people 24/7. It's crazy. My wife has a dog bed in her studio. So when she's in there working, he can come in and sleep and hang out. But even then, he'll curl up right underneath her feet under her desk because, you know, for him being 3 feet away is just too far. I mean, if he could, he'd sit in your lap all day. Now, Bumpus, our other hound, she's pretty much the opposite. She's got some issues. She's got issues. She barks at everything. And I mean everything. A leaf going by, she's barking at it. It's some threat. Everything is a threat. She'll just sit there and she'll just be chewing on her blanket. And then bam, she'll start barking for no reason. It's insane. But yeah, I don't know. It's funny because sometimes when she barks, we're looking at her going, what the hell are you barking at? And she's just looking back at us like, don't you see it? Don't you see it? It's right there for fuck's sake. It's that evil postman. It's almost as if she wants to talk, you know, the way she looks at us. It's just almost as if she wants to talk. I mean, could you imagine? Could you imagine if dogs could actually talk? On one hand, it'd be kind of cool, right? Because you could actually communicate with your dog a lot better instead of trying to figure out what they want. But I don't know, man. I don't think that would be a good thing. I mean, the barking is annoying enough, but could you imagine your dog every 5 minutes coming up to you saying, there's a guy walking by out front, there's a guy walking by out front, and just repeating it over and over and over until you finally have no choice but to get up and look? Or when they have to go outside, they come up to you doing the pee-pee dance saying, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, I gotta pee, and they don't let up until you actually get up and take them out. Oh, and if they could talk, would you change your behavior around them? I mean, now they can keep all your dirty little secrets, but if they could talk, all bets are off on that, right? Would you change your clothes in front of your dog? Would you have sex? Masturbate? You know, your friends would come over and your dog runs up to them, sniffs their crotch, and then they start telling on you. They only had sex once this month, and I don't think it was very good because it only lasted 5 minutes. Or, I think she fakes her orgasms. She watches lesbian porn every day. Oh, he drank a half a bottle of whiskey last night. And afterwards, you'd ask your dog why they embarrassed you like that, and they just say, well, Next time, maybe you'll make me a steak too instead of making me eat this shitty dry food. Just because I lick my own balls doesn't mean I don't have taste buds. And just like that, you're blackmailed by your dog. You try to get out of it by giving them hot dogs, but they just look at you and say, make me a steak right now or I'm telling everybody about your sex dungeon. And I want a sight of bacon and not that bacon strip shit. We definitely know that crap isn't real bacon. But yeah, steaks and bacon. Steaks and fucking bacon. You can't go wrong with that. Anyone try the carnivore diet? Yeah, I mean, my wife and I did that for a while. You know, burgers for lunch, a pound of bacon for a snack, ribeye for dinner. But the biggest mistake we made was trying to take bread out of the equation. No bread. No sandwiches, no proper burgers, no pizza, no fucking pizza. I mean, come on. You know you've hit rock bottom when you've made a cauliflower pizza crust. I mean, there's not enough fucking whiskey in the world to wash that shit down. And after a month of all this, you're like a crack addict, just looking for your next fix. And the thing is, you know, I really did feel better when I stopped eating bread. I mean, I was fucking miserable because I couldn't have a fucking piece of toast, but I did feel better. And then you got to start drinking potato vodka because you can't have gluten. No, you can't have the regular vodka because that's distilled from wheat. So you got to try the vodka made from grapes that costs more than your car. I mean, seriously, some of that shit is just outrageously priced. And the thing is, it all tastes the same. I mean, okay, yeah, some are smoother than others, you know, but at the end of the bottle, you can't really tell the difference. Except for, Potters. You guys ever had Potters? Oh, man, that shit's like $7 a bottle. It's 100 proof, and it goes down like rusty razor blades. I mean, you only drink that shit when you're absolutely fucking desperate. Oh, man. Oh, and I heard a rumor a while back that when J.K. Rowling was in the middle of writing her most famous book series, she was drinking Potter's vodka, and apparently she was working on naming the main character, and she went to take a sip of her Potter's vodka, and there was a hair, a short and curly hair to be exact. It was just floating on top, and it was at that exact moment that the Harry Potter series was born. That's right. It's quite the rags-to-riches story, though, isn't it? I mean, say what you want about J.K. Rowling, but it's crazy, the franchise that she built. It's worth billions, billions with a B, billions. Books, movies, theme park rides, merchandise. It's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy what you can do getting kids to read 500-page books. It's just insane. And speaking of 500-page books generating billions of dollars, how about this whole 50 Shades of Grey thing? I mean, you've got the books, you got the movies, you got the merch. Yes, yes, there's actually 50 Shades themed sex toys. You know, it makes sense. It makes sense. But they really should have sold the toys and the books in this box set and included this little bottle of lavender scented lube. They would have made even more billions. It would have been crazy. You wouldn't have been able to compete with that. But you know, it's been over a decade now since the books came out. And I'm sitting here going, when are we going to get the theme park ride? I mean, we need the full experience. Am I right? And you get there, you're in line. And as you walk up, instead of the sign that says you have to be this tall to go on this ride, you'd have to go through this process of signing all these waivers. Like, do you consent to being whipped during anal sex? Oh, good times. Good times. Now that's a theme park. That's a theme park, right? Yeah, it's no secret that I have a dirty mind, but what a lot of people don't know is that I used to write 50 Shades fan fiction. That's right. Well, I did until I got tied up with other stuff. But, you know, the truth is, I didn't really know anything about the S&M thing. So I hired a dominatrix as a consultant. She was from the Arctic, and she was famous for her Cool Whip. But if I'm truly being honest, the real reason I quit was it didn't pay all that well, and the only toilet paper I could afford was one ply. And that does it for me and for the first season of Under the Influence. I know. It seems like we just started to get to know each other, but don't worry. Season 2 is right around the corner, and I'll be dropping goodies right here in the meantime. So if you're not subscribed, go make that happen so you don't miss anything. And as always, you can find me delivering the funny every Wednesday and Friday on TikTok and on Instagram. Just follow at We Are Booze Hound. You'll have some fun. I guarantee it, or your money back. And with that, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and for your support. Don't forget to try the whiskey. I'll see you guys on the socials later.
Under the Influence is a Booze Hound Entertainment production. Follow or subscribe for free right now wherever you're listening to this podcast. And don't forget to follow at We Are Booze Hound on Instagram and TikTok for teasers, behind the scenes, and other cool stuff. Get links to our other shows at wearebooshound.com.